This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be talking about Death's Door again and other games, but for me, the first time.
Yeah,
again
true.
For me and for you, Jackson.
Yeah,
I have nothing more to say about this game because I haven't really played it since.
Okay.
But I'm still excited to hear more about it.
Yeah, of course,
it's a fun game.
Yeah,
it's such a fun game. I as of last night, I clocked it.
Oh, uh-huh.
I defeated the last villain,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm into the post game,
which is apparently. You didn't hear last week's episode because you weren't in it.
Yeah. That's right.
Apparently, post-game's hectic. Friend of the show, mm-hmm. sometimes co-host of the show, Andrew Levins.
Yeah.
It's funny to say this because I said it exactly last week, but it's a refresher for both you, Joel Zammit, who's never heard it before.
The listening audience.
And the listener.
Yeah. Levins who?
So Levins 100%ed this game before it even hit its official release date, which is crazy because that means no guides, no help because
they didn't exist
yet.
That's nuts.
But... he also did the same thing for Blasphemous, which is insane. Like you had to get in contact with the
gamer.
He truly had to get in contact
with the developers for Blasphemous to be like, "Hey,
what do I do?
I'm at like 98%. What have I missed?"
What's
and they were like, "Jesus Christ, dude!
It's not that good."
Welcome to the development team, my lord.
Yeah. You made this game now. That's what that means.
But yeah, apparently the post game rules.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not that far, so I cannot comment with personal opinions, but that's just what I've heard.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm excited. Well, so those who, I guess, skipped last week's episode.
They were like, no Joel Zammit, no me.
No. Death's Door, it's kind of like a Souls mixed with Zelda. Yeah.
It's a love letter to Souls written by Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this is treading old material.
No, it's really not. Yeah. I would have been like, I said that last week. No. I described it last week as A Link to the Past meets Hollow Knight, but then Jackson said, this is kind of cringe, bro, but it's a bit Souls. And we're like, dude, that is cringe. Yeah, no.
We were cool.
It was a based episode. Yeah. We were all young.
Yeah,
Ethan was there.
Ethan was there.
I've raised the average.
Yeah, he brought it down. Yeah. You've raised it back up, which is a shame.
Yeah. But, well, hey.
Things are epic and fail now.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Damn. Fire the missiles or whatever. That shit was.
Maybe it's good. Maybe I like
So
while you were charging your laser, how was the game?
Very good. It is a five thumb film. Yeah. It's a five thumb game. It's
some games can be movies.
Yes, this one not.
This one not indeed.
Some games can be movies. This one not.
So it is definitely
Thumb Cramps has given up on saying things that mean anything.
Let's wrap it up. We're done.
You are the only one I could trust. Christ! Damn it! Couldn't even trust myself!
It's in the pit. We're done. I'm going back to teaching, I guess. Game's off for us.
Yeah.
It is a very good game.
Yeah.
I've only got like a couple little gripes of it, but apart from that, it's like it's a solid game.
Yeah.
It's fun, it's addictive, it's easy.
It rules the games are easy.
It's easy just to kind of like pick it up and play and just tool around and like, oh, I'm just going to like faff about.
Nothing is ever too, like everything has a really, like a high level of difficulty, but somehow nothing is ever too hard, which is such a good, like that's so hard to achieve.
Hollow Knight.
Yeah, but Hollow Knight, exactly. Hollow Knight does exactly the same thing where you're like, I can do this.
Yeah.
It's going to suck and I'm going to get so frustrated I get horny, a la Wario Land 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Or pushing a bin in the desert or whatever you do.
But I can do it. I can achieve it. Yeah.
And that's what I definitely felt about this game is like there are times where it was very frustrating and very difficult, but nothing was unachievable.
Yeah.
Because I've had that in other video games. You're like, no matter how hard I keep playing this, will keep failing.
I've reached my peak.
Want to do this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I can't remember the last game I played where I was like, oh, that is beyond me. I know there was probably points at Hollow Knight where I felt like that may have ended up being the case, but I got through it. But I feel like there's definitely been games where I've been like, nah, too.
I think playing Dark Souls on the Switch, the Dark Souls remaster on the Switch, I was like, I hate this. Like, I'm not having fun, and I keep on failing, so, man, nah, I'm out, yeah.
I mean, the last time I looked at Dota and was like, how does
that work?
How does this work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have had that, but like, look, there's a couple of games now that exist where when I look at the game, I'm like, I legitimately
have no idea.
Do not know how I would play this.
Yeah, absolutely. Any of those...
what are they called?
MOBAs? It's crazy that they're called MOBAs because one of them is called Dota.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, that is... Should they be called Dotas?
What does MOBA stand for?
It's M-O-B-A, I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's,
move or BS?
I'm pretty sure the BA stands for Battle Arena. I'm going to look it up because there's people screaming at us.
Massively online battle arena.
It could be.
That, I reckon, is probably...
No.
How can something be massively online?
No.
Not Mona. I know what Mona is.
Well, like a Morpork. It's a massively online RPG.
Is it
multiplayer online battle arena?
Massively online.
You no!
Fine.
I just said it. Multiplayer online.
No, I like massively. It sounds big.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, it's like a, what's the other famous one?
LOL.
Yes.
What? League of Legends?
Yes, yeah, League of Legends.
Oh, I thought we were going back to internet slang.
Oh, no, we also were doing that LaMayo. Yeah. Mikasta.
Yeah, Mikasta too. Epic, dude. For the win.
You still won the internet today.
To worth Rufflecopter.
Yeah, have a cookie. Oh, God. Anyway, what do you...
I can has cheeseburger.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Wow. We really cooked it in the early 2000s.
Yeah, we didn't know how to be funny then, but...
Or now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very, very, very fun game. Easy pick up. You can kind of just like tool around for like a couple of like 8 hours in a row or for like half an hour.
For sure.
It's one of those games where I'm just like, wow, where'd the day go? Oh, in here, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was one of those games. Some games you just tell have this like Joel Zammett suck off aura about
them.
Where you're like, well, that's him. That's him gone.
He's in the sucked off zone.
Yeah. Sometimes you see a trailer, like a Switch, like a Nintendo Direct will come out and you'll be like, oh, goodbye, Joel Zammett.
He had fun.
Yeah. We'll see him in a bit. I suppose.
I was our last one to like, pick this one up and the first one to complete it. Yeah, you're right. Yes. But yeah, there's a few times I think you've hit one, Jack, where there's like one level where it's not even part of the like the actual main game. It's like a little bonus thing on the side. And it's like basically ice skating whilst using a hookshot to get some buttons.
Was so I died there more than anywhere else in the game. Mm. You have to hit two buttons. And it's one of those weird ones where, because it's like four button puzzles to get to a shrine. And the first, the third, and the fourth button puzzle section, easy. The second one?
Oh my God.
Because you have to hit a button, which lowers a platform, and then hit another button that lowers a platform, and then get on the first platform so that you can get onto the second platform. But You have like such a finite amount of time to do it in, and you slide it. You're like, and roll off the edge, and roll off the. I was in a white so hot rage.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a part early in the game that teaches you to do that, but in a significantly less intense way.
Like
Hook shot, pre ice
for sure.
Because in the first, when you're in the first in the mansion area where you're going to go kill grandma. There's that puzzle where you have to hit the buttons with your arrow whilst rolling, whilst on a conveyor belt, which is pushing you the other way. And there is also things that are trying to push you off. And
yeah, this was like that, but a million times more frustrating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was, that wasn't frustrating. It's just I can tell, I can now see that they were warming me up for this. Yeah.
And I didn't end up figuring out the best way to do it until because I kept on using the hook shot because I was like, it doesn't use up arrows, it doesn't use up magic slots. But I was like, that's stupid because if I use the arrow, the hook shot has like a finite range. The arrow does not. So I just had to find the glitchiest place to be in that was the closest to where I needed to go that I could still hit the button, and that's how I managed to do it in the end.
Yeah, because I kept just faffing about with the bow and arrow being like, why is it working? Accidentally just hook-shotted it. The time went, and I was like, oh.
Yeah,
but it's that second puzzle that there is. Just,
it's so, frustrating.
The worst thing from what happened with me was like, did the first one, finally got to the second, like finished that. Yeah. I was like, thank Christ. And then basically immediately rolled off the edge for the third puzzle, which then puts you back at the start.
Yeah.
And you're like, but I was. So, now we're going to do it. Okay.
And then I get to the end and it's just a shrine and they're like, yeah, find three more of me and this will have been worth something. And I was like, I'm not going to do that.
But you might. Have you found four of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got five health and five arrow. But
so that means you found eight shrines minimum.
That's true. Maybe I am the best at this game.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. There's that one, which is probably like one of the like the top in that top like three hardest parts of this game. The next
which
one,
which is brave since you've only just started the post game.
In the clocking it without post game, I guess that was probably the one of the hardest ones. The next one was like fighting the third giant beast, which is you're up to that, Jack, which is like this big abominable snowman that is
spooky.
Yeah, bit spooky, and you just got to learn its pattern. And
no.
The third one is the little bit just before the final boss.
Oh, okay.
This is like kind of similar to that thing where you have to be very quick using the hook shot. Platforms are falling. Bulls with doors for faces are ramming your left, right, and center.
No.
And you just got to like learn that pattern, and it's you can't die at all.
That sounds very frustrating.
Very frustrating.
But you know,
again, it's a very fun game. I like the versatility of it. Because I think I started using the daggers as soon as I picked them up.
Yeah.
And then you still use.
I use the great sword these days.
Ah, cool.
Because
I know. Congratulations. I think you hated it originally. You found
I also hated it originally, but now I'm using the great sword.
Yeah, because it does more damage.
It
does more damage.
Wow.
But you can't hit as many times.
Yeah, that is. That's classic. That's the trade-off. Weapon.
It's a two-swinger.
Yeah, two swings. But the reason I use it is that. And I don't know why this works really, but because I mostly use the bow and arrow, if I hit two swings, it does like a decent amount of damage and it fills up my meter and then I can back away. And I don't know, somehow the greatsword's been better for that.
Yeah, it's kind of that, you know, when we all sort of played Hollow Knight and that weird thing, we were comparing how we played it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have pets.
Yeah.
And you were like, I was just a sword boy.
Yeah.
I was also just a sword boy.
Yeah. It's fun to be a sword boy.
Maybe I'll be a full mage, you know? I think that sounds fun.
In Hollow Knight.
Yeah. To go like full like, screaming up that move and the yelling down.
Yeah.
A lot of screaming.
I feel like the
scream mage.
I just feel like they're trying to do that with Hollow Knight, whilst you clearly can, there'd be some parts that would just be so infuriating.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it's funny when you see.
No, but as in like so much more infuriating than anything you've encountered, like that I encountered.
But it's interesting because when you see people speedrun Hollow Knight, which occasionally, I'm not looking it up, but it comes across my feed. So
and you watch it and you're like, oh, someone beats Hollow Knight in 6 hours.
They did it
I'm
quick.
Doing nothing today. I'll watch it all.
But yeah, they often will use magic. They won't just stick to, they kind of will almost rely on that more than the sword, which is interesting. I guess it's got more of a range. I don't know. I want to beat Hollow Knight focusing on, what's that ability that makes you a little caterpillar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bug build. Well, yeah. You're all bugs, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Friend build.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's interesting kind of being like, oh yeah, I solely use the daggers and Jack mostly used a bow and arrow.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
Which I was like, that's kind of crazy that you went range. Because yeah, a lot of the boss fights seem to be not wanting you to do a lot of range.
Yeah, there's so many of them I couldn't figure it out until I decided to go range. Yeah. I got rid of the big frog boss so quickly because I went ranged. Like it really worked out well for that.
Yeah, if my arrows did more damage, I reckon most of the earlier bosses are way easier if you were just using ranged weapons.
You
pretty much only need to hit them with your sword to recharge your ranged weapon.
For sure. Which can be the big booty knight that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
Nightmare for ranged, because if you get anywhere near it, he's going to bonk you.
Mm. With his fat ass.
With his fat ass and his fat hammer.
That big booty knight, he's up there in terms of like the amount of deaths that I died in his like fleshy behind is incredible.
And you come across him so often.
I know.
He's everywhere, this big booty knight.
Get out of there.
There's a big booty knight that not only is a big booty knight, but then his attacks are like gaseous.
No, big booty farty knight. No, thank you.
Stank King.
Yeah, the Stank King killed me a lot.
Yeah, that sounds very frustrating.
A lot. And then some of these ones, because like these are the optional bosses, are some of like the hardest aspects of this game so far. And I'm like, okay, I find it. What do I get? Oh, shrine.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, this game is again a lot of fun. If you haven't got it by now, grab it. I do wish it was on the Switch. Weirdly,
I think it will eventually.
This game would be like at the moment it is a 10 out of 10, and if on the Switch like a 12.
Yeah,
like, it's one of those games where I feel like on the Switch would be like perfect for it. My only gripes with this game are sometimes it's not at all handholdy, which is, again, sometimes I really like that, but this is like, just throws you in,
and
I don't even know if I'm in a pool or not. No map, I think that would definitely fix some of the aspects of that I have issues with, but I'm talking about, so I think there's like the very first thing after you go through like a death store and you do the first intro level, and then you go into the Lost Cemetery, and you enter, and then like the door just pops up. And like, I don't know what that was at that point. So I just walked through it and I'm like, where am I? What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing right now.
You're back in the thing.
Yeah.
And then when you talk to the fellas, they tell you what you have to do.
Yeah, a little bit, but
they should give you enough hints. They're like, what are you doing back here? You haven't killed the... Get back in there.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. It's
not me, because I'm a gamer.
Yeah, of course.
Also, I've only played it for like 1/5 of the amount of time you both have.
There's that. And then again, getting into the post game, I don't know how you access that. I looked it up to be like, oh, I'm missing some of these like collectible shiny things.
And you need to get them... shiny. I haven't found a single shiny thing, which I feel
that's
like
crazy.
That is crazy.
I think I have 6 to go.
Yeah. I've got like...
But I also didn't...
4 to go?
Yeah. I think I was walking past the umbrella heaps before I realized I could pick it up. So I feel like that I've probably missed shiny things not looking with my peepers.
So there's that puzzle early on in the ceramic witch's garden or whatever. We have to break the pots in the... I just was wailing on that for ages, and by chance.
I don't... I looked up how you do that. I have no idea how you did that.
I mean, it's crazy that I did that by chance, because I was just swinging and then I was like, maybe I've got to do it quicker with arrows, and then bada bing, bada boom, it opened. And I was like, how did I do that? And
how are you meant to figure that
there
out?
There is a little shiny thing in Danny's mansion, which has
it's a photograph. Yeah.
And you turn it over and it's got like which vases to hit in which order.
Yeah.
Because you can only hit a certain amount in a certain order. And I don't know how he did it.
The fact that I did it is, I think, like one of those, like I should have entered the lottery and won instead.
I'm tempted. I feel like I've missed heaps of stuff at the start of the game to the point where maybe I've restarted for a third time.
Well, because the way I do, every time I get a new...
That.
Just go back.
Just go back, my dude. Just go back.
Oh, yeah, because there's no... Yeah, no.
Because also there's times where you go back and you're like, oh, I've found a secret port, but you're like, I need a bomb to open that bit.
Yeah.
No, I'll keep going.
Yeah, for sure.
There's times you go back.
I guess
back,
yeah, like the game is... Yeah, I should just go back to the start of the Lost Cemetery with the... Because like a much, fire
yeah, every time I get a new like fire or bomb, I'm like, right, time to go back to all the old levels and see what I can do.
Yeah,
now.
Smart. Because I don't even know what a shiny thing looks like. Because again, don't have any.
Yeah. There you go.
They're shiny. You got to pick
them
up.
Do anything.
They look cool.
Yeah, but they tell you about the pots.
That's the only one. Yeah. The only thing they do that's like affects something in the game. Apparently.
That one time.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, that's crazy. I could have just guessed like Jackson.
The trowel that you get, apparently, if you inspect it, it says it'll glow in moonlight if there's a seed near. Don't know what that means. Don't know what that means yet.
I think I do because I looked up what the hell's going on with the post game, but I won't spoil it.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shut up. How about that?
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, how many thumbs?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's 5 thumbs, and I think this game, there's only a couple of things I'd do to improve it as such to make it a little bit more user-friendly.
It doesn't count as porting it to the Switch as an improvement.
Porting it to, but no, a map.
Yeah, yeah.
As you said, JD. But not a map early on. Just, I think even in just if there's a post-game, just they give you a map or one of the shiny things is a map or something along those lines where you can collect a bunch of things which then give you a map because there are a lot of collectibles to get and there are a lot of, like, you know, secret passages, those kind of things you don't know about. And if you had a map there, you could kind of be like, okay, cool.
I think
especially for the post-game.
And also, like, just some levels, like, all the levels are beautiful, but some are very similar.
Yes.
Like it's hard to tell where, especially the jungle level. I was like, I don't know where I am most of the time. Everything looks.
I reckon I'll kill that because I'll just tap into Donkey Kong brain.
Yeah, that's true. What would I do if I was an ape? And then you just throw your computer out the window.
Clocked it.
Well, there's that one level, which is, I think, just after the jungle one, which is all on water, which is like basically
Wet level.
It's like, wet level, and you got little platforms, and you sort of like, it's very pretty, it's very nice. And there's a section to the right.
Yeah.
Which got like hook shots, and I don't know how to get to them. And even when I got the hook shot, I couldn't go back and access that. And I'm like, I don't know I can access that now or if that's a post game.
To find the hook shots in the ceramic garden, because there's hook shot shit in there as well.
Mm.
Like, what am I meant to do? I found out I had to roll through a gap in the hedge.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even know was a thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Some of the times you're like, man, I'm just stupid.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I found one of the gaps, and then I came to a point where I'm like, well, I can't go further. What am I doing? There's another gap.
Yeah,
I'm it was right in front of me the whole time.
Yeah.
It's just amazing just how little I can take in, you know?
Yeah, were you, sure. Were you using a walkthrough or guide throughout the game?
No. Like,
no.
Yeah.
Only when I got, like, extremely stuck, I guess.
Yeah, that was the same.
And even then, like...
only used it when they got extremely stuck, you seem to be very knowledgeable about what the guides say.
Yeah. But I only got extremely stuck for, like, say, for example, that little, the ice rink thing. I was, like, searching how to do that, and there was no guide.
Yeah.
It's like, get good at the game. And I'm like, all right, like, I guess.
Just, you got to shoot that first target and then the second target and get on the platform within the time limit. You're like... Yeah. Oh. I know.
I'm doing best. I just don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the same with, like, even with, like, Hollow Knight. Like, being, like, because most of the time if I got stuck on something, it was a boss fight. So I was like, well, I'm not going to look it up because I know it's just going to say, hit him with your sword.
Yeah, for sure. I think most of the things I looked up was, like, for example, I wanted to know if the shiny things did anything and if it was worth my time to be collecting them. And so looking that up, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's how I found out that I somehow... beat the odds and smash the pots correctly.
But it's also, again, it's a funny game as well. Like, there is humor in it, and it's not on the nose, which is, again, such a rare thing in a video game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like the humor's there, and it's like, it's not just like batting me over the head with, you know, the references. It's just being like, hey, this is a thing that's kind of funny. All the bosses you kill, that ends with like a bit of a funeral.
Yeah,
I didn't want to talk about that last week, but that was the thing I referenced.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I was like, the game, like, kind of takes a turn after you kill the first boss, and then a thing happens, and you're like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, there's funerals after every boss fight. That's funny.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
It's great. And then, when you go, again, because you're meant to, like, getting these three big souls to then open up this door to help this old crow.
Yeah.
And then when, like, that happens, and, like, what you happen in there, like, that's also, it's quite funny. It's kind of neat. It's an enjoyable little romp of a game.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend get on it. It's so fun. I don't want to go back and finish this game just using an umbrella, and I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
It's one of the achievements.
Yeah.
No.
I reckon yes. It does half damage. Who cares? Just every boss twice. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'll do it right now.
All right.
Okay.
Enjoy.
I will. Umbrella run.
Yeah.
Umbrella.
All right. You clock it with the umbrella. I'll give you $20.
Nah, I'm gonna get the 50 first. Obviously, that's crazy. Do it for 20. What do you think I am?
Right,
a
do
bomb?
It for, do it for 50.
Do it for 100. Anyway.
He's never doing it.
Jackson, what have you been playing?
So I was browsing simulator games on Steam.
Mm.
To stream, Jackson Billy, Twitch, whatever. Jackson Billy dot Twitch dot TV. That's not it.
I'm sad it wasn't. You didn't do like Jackson Bailey whatever at Twitch or whatever.
That would have been funny. And I found a game called Trader Life Simulator.
Traitor Life.
Trader?
A Trader.
Life Simulator.
Like you're a trader.
What do you think this game is?
You are going through the trading post, and you're finding items.
I wish.
And you start off with a Tamagotchi, and you need
you gotta
to end
trade
up.
Up like that guy with a pencil.
Yeah. And you got to get a car or a house or something.
I reckon it Trader Life is in like a tradesperson, but I reckon it's probably like a showroom simulator or something.
No, so it's a grocery store simulator. For some reason. And you know when you play a simulator, I don't know how many simulator games you play.
Not very.
Zero. They bore me.
Well, yeah. I
like watching you play them. I can do that at
twitch.tv/JacksonBailey.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Who knows where I am ever. But I like when I play a simulator game that's deranged. And this is one of those. When you play a simulator game where you're like.
If you want a deranged simulator game, my dude.
Yeah.
You got to check out. And look, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Goat Simulator?
dude. It's already funny and I know nothing about it.
You're a goat. Yeah. And the game's broken.
He's not selling it. See, he's a goat.
Yeah.
And he's got a long tongue that he attaches to things like a Spider-Man.
That sounds
like it's like
epic.
A spider goat. You can get the outfit makes the goat a Spider-Man.
The opposite of fail, to be honest.
Win?
I would say that's win, yeah.
I think you can go to the moon or some shit.
Whoa. Well, no, see, because that's like a curated kind of derangedness.
Yeah.
I like playing a simulator game where I'm like, does the creator of this think he's sending a message? Does he think, is this the kind of thing he made in therapy, maybe?
I get what you mean. There's got to be a certain level of earnest.
Yeah. Of like, this is someone's dream and somebody's dream was insane. So the basic way it works is you wake up in a completely empty house. You have you don't know what to do from there. You get in your car. You drive into town. You realize you have a hunger meter, a stamina meter, and a urine meter. Then you go to an empty storefront.
In real life.
Yeah. Everybody in town has the same model, and they all look like angry foreign men. I don't know why. It's all the same guy. One of them's working in your store. You can place whatever you like in the store. Like, so you have like a collection of furniture that you can place down. So walls, shelves, a bed, and a toilet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can put the toilet anywhere. So obviously you just put that in the middle of the store, pissing it in front of everyone.
It's just economical.
Yeah. I don't know. The game has just this terrible energy that is very funny. It feels like a horror game. It's got the tension of a horror game, but like never the payoff. So there's no music. Everybody looks like the same guy. All of the buildings are just douche looking up pictures of it.
Jackson, did you pay full price for this?
How much is full price?
Because $43.
No, I didn't pay $43 for it. I definitely got it on sale. $43 it's crazy that it's $43. It's not worth $43.
How much is it worth?
There's cows.
Yeah, but you've got to buy the farm to get cows, which you do with your iPhone. But I don't have the money to. And all the cows are just in a shed somewhere, and they're all just a static model of a cow. And there's that same guy that's everywhere, and he's like, "You don't have a farm, you can't buy my cow." And there's so the three cows are statically standing in a row, and all of their tails are swinging in time because presumably it's just the same model that the creator has plonked down. The creator also has made a whole bunch of other deranged simulators, so he's got like a bakery one.
You can get that in a bundle, but the bakery one's way cheaper.
I don't know why Trader Life Simulator is so expensive. It shouldn't be.
So how much do you think Trader Life Simulator should be worth? If you were to put a monetary value on this.
I think this is one of those games that the creator should pay you, really. You know what I mean? The creator should be like, play my game. Here's $10. So I guess it's worth negative $10. The basic gameplay, I guess, is you drive to there's various like outletters. So there's like a meat outletter. There's like a regular goods outletter. Mm-hmm. There's like a couple of other ones. You drive to them. You buy whatever food you think you want to sell at your store. You drive back to your store. You can place the boxes of food anywhere on your car, which is always funny. So you could just put it on the bonnet or whatever. Then you can't see. Drive back.
Can you crash your car at any point?
Your car does have several like damage meters or whatever. I don't know what happens when they all go. And driving your car, it feels terrible. Really, one of the worst feelings in a game.
Is it like one of those car? Because, you know, like, if you're driving a car in a game where they clearly didn't put any effort into the fact you're driving a car, they just wanted you to drive a car.
Yeah.
Where the car has zero weight.
And it just
feels like it's the same feeling you get from walking in the game, but sped up, basically.
No, it's more like, and this is a crazy metaphor, but imagine driving like a small box with a heavy marble in it. So like you drive and if you're going forward, the marble rolls to the front of the car. Yep. So then if you want to turn, you're really heavy on the front. That's kind of the way it feels.
That's good.
And then you take
$43.
I hope I didn't pay full price. I don't think I would have, because that seems insane.
Or is there a chance? And I don't know if you, because look, purchasing things requires a different part of your brain than just general existence, I guess.
Yeah. I kind of only have one part of my brain.
Because if you weren't paying for it, you would not have looked at the price.
That's true. That's a good point. But I think I did pay for it.
So if you were paying for it, would you have stopped or would you have just been like,
I think I would have been like, $43 is a bit much, surely. Mm. You know?
But or being like, most like, you know, AAA games, you get that $800 mark. So you got like $100 is like $100. That's pretty.
But $42 is a bargain.
No, that's basically like, close to 30, which is almost $20. It's basically like, whatever, like a hamburger. Bye.
I'm in.
Because I feel like that if you occasionally stroll through life being unaware of whatever the price tag of whatever you just bought is, then there is a chance you paid $43 for this. But if you actually look at a confirmation screen and check the price before you do stuff, then I doubt it.
I think typically with games, at the very least, I do. So let's all hope to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a simulator game, which means it probably was 75% off at some point.
I think it might have been. Anyway.
I mean, you could always go through your emails and check.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
Okay. I'll find out.
Let's find out. How much did Jackson Bailey pay for Trader Life Simulator?
Yeah, I'm curious there.
Let me tell you what, boys, it was not worth $43. Like I said, it's worth the guy gives me $10. So basically I gotta go back through so many.
Still search. Steam.
Yeah, I got Steam, but then I gotta
gotta what?
I got a lot of Steam emails.
Stop buying so many games.
Your account has been compromised. Please change your password.
Okay, I spent $21.97 on it.
So it's 50% off.
Yeah, it must have been 50% off.
That seems like a crazy amount of money to spend on this game, but that's
all right. I can get $21. That's close to like 10, is about as much as a hamburger.
Yeah, exactly. Tamba knows how I think. In hamburger.
I just realized that I looked at it, but it didn't show you, Zammit, what it looks like.
So once you bring back, please, while you do that, I'll keep explaining. Uh-huh. Once you bring back all of the goods that you want to sell, you take them to your store and then
$22.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking. No, I can see why you would.
Yeah, exactly.
It's colorful.
Yeah, it's bright.
Bright.
It looks like there could be a bad aura about it.
Yeah, there's a terrible aura.
Like looking at the screen grabs, you're like, I guess it doesn't show you how maybe bad it is. Actually, like that is a lot better rendered, like the car dashboard than I was expecting. I was imagining something quite blocky. So just seeing these screenshots, I'd be like, oh yeah, maybe it's good.
For sure. Something that I think is funny is that so people come into your store while you're out because there is a person there, the same person that's everywhere at the counter, and you will get little notifications that are like, customer unhappy, no bleach, customer unhappy, no ham. And so you've got to, but you never have enough money to provide everything for the customers, and so you'll just constantly be getting those notifications. I don't know. The game has just such a terrible, upsetting aura that it does absolutely feel like you're playing, like something's about to jump out and get you. Like it's got like a day, like you go through like a day cycle. So at night you close the store and go back to your huge empty house and go to sleep. At the back of my house is a swing set, but I have no child. You know, it's got real bad auras. You can go into the huge burger place, which is the only place that you can get food, and buy a pizza. I don't know. It's upsetting. And then you put the pizza in the back of your car, and yeah, you can just leave it there for as long as you like. Go into the bank, and the bank has like one teller and one guy in full SWAT gear, and then there's nothing else in the bank, but there's like three floors, and in this
other... Can you go up the other floors?
Yeah, but there's no one in there, just offices and paintings on the walls of like a steampunk fantasy landscape, but...
That's cool!
I don't know why. Yeah, so it's the whole thing's very upsetting. Oh, there's also, so like, there's like a town, and then there's woods with like some further buildings in them that you can go to get like stuff for your shop.
Mm-hmm.
But at the entrance out of the town into the woods, there's armed guards. I don't know why they're there or what they're protecting me
can
from.
Can you get shot?
No, but it feels like you should. And so I guess that's the bad aura of the game that made me spend $21 on it.
Yeah, well, at least it wasn't 43.
Exactly, at least it wasn't 43. It's probably like a one thumb game, really. Yeah. Like, it's not good. One It's not good or fun, but it's bad.
Yeah, I know those games.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to play something that's bad and sucks,
not fun.
Yeah, yeah.
No good. Boring.
No good. Boring. But also makes you feel a little bit like you're about to be shot at any second.
Uneasy.
Also, you can't, so you can drive your car into people, right? Uh-huh. But they never die, and in fact, they wreck your car if you drive into them.
So do they move?
No.
A town of hulks. Okay.
Yeah, it's a town of hulks.
So you hit the car, you hit the person, your car just stops.
You hit the person, your car stops, and then if you stay there, what's clearly happening is the physics or the hitboxes of the two things are interacting in a really bad way, and your car will just be like, and jump and jerk around. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's something. So yeah, look, that's Trader Life Simulator. It's a classic one-thumber. Don't get it.
Cannot recommend this.
Can't recommend it. Yeah.
Cannot recommend not buying this enough.
Exactly. But if you want to, like you can ensure a terrible feeling by buying it for $41. Yeah. Like if you're looking for a sense of regret, there you go.
Yeah, if you're having too good a day and you're like, you know what? I'm going to just chuck $40 on this.
Yeah, you know those days where you're like, I need to be taken down a peg.
Yeah. Time to fin dom myself.
Yeah.
Time to buy Trader Life Simulator from this deranged man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. At least he's got your money now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank goodness.
He's making another game this year.
Oh, that's
his
exciting.
His third release of 2021.
Is it
going to
be exactly the same as all his other games?
Farmer Life Simulator.
There you go. There you go.
You'd probably be able to get cows in that straight away.
That's
probably
true. Probably the same.
Cows.
Cow model.
Same engine. Yeah, the cows have the same model as all the guys.
Bakery Shop Simulator looks exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely get it.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I'd be stupid not to.
Yeah.
What have you been playing, JD?
Jang Ding.
Jangus Bangus.
Yeah.
I have finished Resident Evil 7 and played the free DLC pack, which is like it's a second ending, but it's not like... Because in the game, there's choices.
Mm.
Well, there's one choice, and that impacts the ending you get, which is funny.
What did you choose, by the way?
I picked the same as you. I don't know why, because I didn't...
So what are the choices?
Okay. In Jackson's review, and this is like one of the only things I remember, was there's a point where you have to pick something, but you have to pick between two people.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, I picked this person, but it doesn't matter. Like, it makes no impact. It does make an impact. In fact, it makes so much of an impact that Resident Evil 8 follows on from the storyline that I didn't get.
That's funny.
Okay.
So, yeah. So there's a good and a bad ending, basically.
Okay, and you got the...
Bad ending. But it
didn't seem that bad to me.
Do you watch cutscenes?
Explain to me this bad ending.
Yeah.
All right, so spoilers for Resident Evil 7, because this is like the only kind of big thing. I'm not going to give you time codes, just skip ahead, stop listening if it bothers you that much. Or skip ahead or whatever, who cares? Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You get two vaccines for the horrible, horrible mold
virus
problem.
Thing, yeah.
It's called something E.
E-mold.
Yeah, something like it's like E-mold. Anyway.
A bowl of mold.
And you've been assisted by someone called Zoe throughout the game,
mm-hmm.
and your wife is Mia.
Mm-hmm.
So
better names, all right.
Yeah.
Mia, Zoe, I'm there.
Okay. So
I got a vaccine, I got two in my hands.
So Zoe has helped you make the vaccine and is being your guide throughout the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
so she's part of the family that you have been, you've been like attacked, like kidnapped by basically.
All right, and look, you can't blame her for a family.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, because she's an angel. She's infected by the same stuff that her whole family is.
I can't blame the family now.
Except, no, it's not the family's fault. The game also reveals that it's not the family's
fault.
That's
what I'm saying, you can't blame
them. Yeah, yeah.
No, no, as in like, yeah, exactly. They've been, they got Evelyn. She's the one to blame.
Evelyn's the bad bloke.
Victims of circumstance. I'm there, JD. I'm there with these two vaccines.
So, but the way that the family worked is they took Mia and Evelyn into their family. Mia calls the dad from the family dad or daddy.
Okay.
Which then, because Jackson fell for this trick.
They got me.
So then you're like, oh, you know Zoe because she's Mia's sister, but she's not actually Mia's sister.
Adoptive sister.
Yeah. No, sort of. Not quite.
No, not really.
Okay.
So
I only picked Mia. But wait, which one's not my wife?
Either way, Zoe's I got two vaccines. I got Zoe and Mia.
You're like, yeah, let's do this. Yeah. And then dad turns around and just like grabs you and throws you through a wall.
Oh, no.
And then you have to fight dad.
Like, I fight dad.
And then you, the fight takes a turn, and then you have to stab him with a vaccine because by curing him,
he stops fighting.
Well, he's dead.
Well, he stops fighting.
But then,
okay, I cure him with dad. He's dead.
No, you
got
dad.
One vaccine. I cure daddy. He's dead. I got one vaccine. Okay. Yep. Now.
And then it's Mia and Zoe. Yeah. Okay. And the game's like, who are you giving the vaccine to?
Okay, now how crazy is Mia right now?
She attacked me with a knife earlier.
She cut off your hand with a chainsaw at the start of the game.
Okay, but it's not her fault.
Well, no, but at this point in the game, you don't really know what's gone down yet.
How much do I love my wife?
Well, you've gone because of your wife.
and Zoe, could I? I probably. Oh, it's a hard one.
So basically, what I did,
because
I picked Zoe. Which is the bad ending.
Oh, because I would think she maybe helped and make
we
more
all
vaccine.
Zoe. We all
because,
hate
yeah,
our wife.
exactly what I thought was going to happen. I was like, I pick Zoe, then more vaccine gets made.
Yeah,
but you get in a boat, and then what happens immediately?
Zoe, why?
No. Well, yeah, you'll leave because you're in a thing where you've got to leave to then come back and make more vaccine.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
But what actually happens is you leave and then the characters make it clear you're never returning for your wife.
Zoe,
and then
piece of shit. No.
It's not like...
you piece of shit.
There's no promise of more vaccine. It's just I jumped to that conclusion, the same conclusion you jumped to.
Yeah.
Not me. I just was like, my wife's been mean to me.
So, but yeah, so what happens is you're in a boat and then because you picked...
My not wife.
Your not wife... And your wife has a connection to Evelyn, who is the problem of all of this. Evelyn then immediately kills Zoe.
Mm.
And then you get trapped. Then you play as Mia for a bit, which always happens. Like, it doesn't matter who you pick, you play as Mia at this point. You explore a thing. You rescue Ethan, who is the character you usually play as during the game. Then at this point in the game, if you've picked Mia, Mia fights off Evelyn and Ethan escapes. But if you've picked Zoe...
Yeah, whoops.
Mia fights off Evelyn to get you out and then immediately turns on you and then you kill your wife for real.
Oh.
And then...
Yeah.
There's like the end part of the game where you escape and then Ethan... The ending that I got is Ethan sitting in a helicopter looking at like his wife's phone and a photo of them and being like, well, I lost her 3 years ago and I lost her again today. She'll always be a memory and this was the worst moment of my life, basically. Yeah. And it's really bitter and kind of angry. But That's then the fair. True ending, you and Mia get in a boat. Evelyn attacks you guys for leaving, not because you've betrayed the family. You still fall in and get captured. Then you play as Mia trying to rescue yourself. So it makes way more sense gameplay-wise.
Yeah.
Then all of that happens. Yeah, Mia holds off Evelyn. You don't fight Ethan because she doesn't turn on you.
Oh, that's nice.
So you don't die. Yeah. And then there's a happy ending where she's like, that was a terrible, terrible night, but I'm so glad that you came for me, Ethan. I love you. And he's like, I love you too. And then that's how 8 starts.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, the thing that I played is there is a bonus.
Okay.
There's a bonus chapter after it because Resident Evil 7 does the same trick as some of the other Resident Evil games where you feel like it's kind of a reboot of the series, and then right at the end they're just like, hey, remember the other Resident Evil games? They're back.
Yeah, yeah.
Resident Evil 7's ending goes from, like, the whole game is, like, pretty tense, jump scary, and then there's one section of the game where it's just, like, gross and not jump scary, and then it gets jump scary again right at the end. And then there's a massive boss fight. Anyway, Chris, from the first couple of Resident Evil games, he's like, he jumps in, he's like, Umbrella are good now, basically. Helps you kill the final boss.
Okay. Yeah.
Gives you a gun to do it.
Oh.
And then when the main game ends, one of the members of the family, the one who is the most annoying, you never fought.
Mm-hmm.
So then the DLC, which is called Not a Hero, you play as Chris, and you're going to go kill Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
The game turns into Metroid Prime, basically.
Oh.
Because you get like a HUD.
Yeah.
Which makes you feel like you're wearing a visor from Metroid, basically. It has like your ammo and stuff displayed in the bottom. You have really high-powered guns, and a lot of it is just shooting through
hordes
of mold. But then you, about halfway through the DLC, which is, it's free.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, if you've played Resident Evil 7, you might as well download it. It just gives you a little bit of extra story, and it's like a thing you can play through in 2 hours.
Mm.
Gets about an hour in and you meet a villain that they're like, oh no, the mold is evolving, bullets do nothing.
Oh, that's so cool.
It gives you all of these like really strong guns and then you can't do anything with them.
That's great.
Then you get like, I forget the name of it, but there's like a particular type of bullet that's basically what the vaccine is made from.
Oh yeah.
But there's not many of those bullets.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They take down the enemies that can't be harmed by bullets, but the game starts throwing a lot of those at you. Stressful.
Yeah, that sounds good.
The structure of the DLC is you go back into the salt mines because you got to take care of Lucas and find out because
literal
Lucas,
salt mines or metaphorical salt mines?
Literal salt mines.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Because Lucas is in the process of selling Evelyn's data to
bad blokes.
Like, because Evelyn
and
the mold
is making them do this.
Evelyn is a girl that is like a weird weapon of mass destruction, and they make her take the form of a little girl because she's more likely to be accepted by the community that she's dropped into, and then she vomits.
She makes mold people.
Yeah, yes. Who are like fully, not sentient. It's like basically they're like 100% controllable.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it's a hive mind.
Yeah.
It just seems strange that like I got possessed by a mold, but I'm going to sell this thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, so he's
like a little bit not possessed.
He's possessed, but he was working for a different company that was studying Evelyn, and as a result, he was possessed by the mold, but he has like a bit of the cure that means that his brain is still his.
Yeah. It's just that he doesn't want to make money.
Yeah. This is where the Resident Evil gets
Resident Evil.
Yeah, okay.
Because, like, right at the start of the game, you find out he is mold because his hand gets cut off and it grows back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is intense. So, yeah, you're in the salt mines. Then there's, like, 4 tunnels, but every tunnel needs a new ability. Oh. So you have to go through them in the right order because the first one you get is, like, because they start doing stuff that other Resident Evil games have done, which is, like, the mold has become spores in the air.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, like, a ventilator you've got to get, otherwise you'll die. There's night vision goggles. And I think one of the other ones is like the special bullets I was talking about before. So like, it's fun. It feels like a totally different game.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's never really, because there are so many DLCs for Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
And I know there's one of them where you play as, neither of the big story DLCs really have ever appealed to me, because there's the one where you play as Chris. I liked the game.
Well, yeah, because for anyone who doesn't know this, I think 4 DLC packs and they range. So the free one I played, I beat in one sitting, and I think I beat it in just under 2 hours.
Yeah.
There's one called End of Zoe where you play as Uncle.
You play as a hillbilly who wrestles, you fight in alligators with your bare hands or whatever.
Yeah.
It just sounds a bit silly, like compared to the, I don't know. It's like neither one feels like Resident Evil 7.
And then there's banned footage, which is more tapes.
Yeah. Which, but a lot of banned footage are like almost mini games.
Ah.
Well, not mini, they're like weird.
Like the birthday puzzle room?
Yeah. Sort of. So, like, one of them is a poker game that you play through. One of them is you're trapped in a bedroom, and the mum, you're just like some, I think you're, I don't know, a prisoner, just some guy trapped in the bedroom, and the mother comes in if you're too loud, and you need to, like, figure out. It's almost like a hidden object game in the room where you're like, I got to get out of this room, but I can't be caught by her. And so they've all kind of are less like the main game.
Yeah.
Or the fan footage ones.
The tapes that are in the game. So I can't remember if you were in an episode where I was talking about Resident Evil, but I'll tell you anyway.
Thank you.
Throughout the game, you find videotapes, like
cassettes.
VHSs.
And when you put them in, like, then there's TVs where you watch them. But then the game puts you into the person who...
That's cool.
So you're in the video.
So you're watching yourself play a game.
Yeah, basically.
VHS. Yeah. I'm there.
Yeah.
So, like, Ethan, your character, is watching this TV, but you, the player, are playing the video. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, crazy circumstances where you're like, I don't know who I'm playing as, which means things are probably not going to go well for me.
Mm.
There's one that's just a big puzzle room.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get killed at the end of it.
That was a fun one.
So you got to solve all these puzzles, but the only way to do it results in you spilling liquid all over the floor that then catches fire. So then you slowly burn alive.
Yeah.
And then a little bit longer in the main game, Ethan gets put in the same room and you've got to use that same...
Everything you learn from the tape to... Yeah. It's good.
You're learning.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, that's not good.
But yeah, so I think some of them maybe are a bit like that, but most of the, I think, anyway.
Anyway, like, I loved Resident Evil 7. That was a five-thumbed game.
Mm-hmm.
The DLC that I played, probably three thumbs and a knock, only because, like, it feels very DLC-y.
Yeah.
It doesn't add too much to the story, but killing Lucas was very satisfying.
He was annoying.
Yeah. It was good to empty a lot of bullets directly into him.
Yeah, fair call.
Yeah. He sucks. He's the worst one.
He is.
He's like a slimy weasel guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's no good.
He looks like a stoner nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the type of guy that walks around with, like, a hood on, but like an open hoodie.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that? Don't do open hoodie, like unzipped, but hood on. That's absurd.
Unless you're a boxer.
Yeah, then it's cool.
But he's wearing, like, jeans and...
Yeah.
He's dressed like me, but with a hoodie undone with a hood on, which is not how I'd ever wear that.
Yeah. I'm imagining.
Yeah, we're there.
I'm not happy.
Yeah. Anyway, three thumbs and knock. And that brings us to the best part of the show. The listeners have all agreed this is the good bit.
It's what they've been waiting. They've slogged through however long that was of content to get to the ads.
Yeah, that's it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thank you, sponsors. Thank Another you. Incredible ad read.
Yeah, wow.
Well done. Unless it was one of us doing an ad read, in which case it was actually bad.
Garbage.
So that brings us to the next segment of the show, the final segment of the show, the emails segment of the show. And you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod. That's right, we're on Twitter.
That's crazy.
And we're on the Gmails.
The boys are on the Gmails.
So,
look out.
Last week we were sent an email by Jacob. Which subject questions for Zaman.
Oh, yeah.
And you weren't here last week, so Ethan answered
them. I hope he answered them well.
Well, yeah, some say he did. Some say he did an exceptional job.
Oh, great.
Which means that you are now up and you have to answer okay. the same questions. Yeah. How's it going, mates? Yeah. I've got two questions for Zammit, yep. as the subject said, and it comes from my former roommate, Woody.
Okay, Woody.
What is your Mass Effect 1 party? I'm not sure if current or favorite. I think you've played it many times. Also, mm-hmm. who is your favorite squad mate? Same applies.
Ooh.
Cheers.
Okay, so my Mass Effect 1 party ended up being Tali. What was the name? Liara. So I ended up using Tali and Liara just because I played a sniper. So I was lacking cool. in biotics and other kind of
coward run through. That's sick.
So I didn't have that. Like I had like a decent amount of combat, and so I needed like some extra sort of like, you know, the powers that the sort of Tali and Liara had.
Carried by your team makes sense.
That's not what I'm saying. just saying that.
What was the other question?
Who was your favorite squad mate?
Probably Thane. I have a
didn't make
big,
the cut,
big,
but
well, Thane is he only appears in Mass Effect 2.
Well, it's his Mass Effect 1.
Yeah. Your favorite squad mate in Mass Effect 1.
Yeah,
I gotta assume.
Okay. Because one, the characters aren't great.
Not
I think number two is what sort of when it excels in terms of character development.
Yeah.
But I do love Rex. Rex is pretty good mm-hmm. in Mass
Effect. Also didn't
1.
Make the cut.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he's got a shotgun, and again, I have a sniper rifle, and again, the synergies. It depends. You're using your squad as a sort of like, because again, Mass Effect is mostly like combat based.
Yeah.
So you're using the squad that you're there for, like to kind of have the combat stuff. But in terms of like character wise, Rex is pretty an interesting character. But Natalie is also very interesting. I like their storyline. I like what they do.
Yeah.
I find Liara can be a little bit boring.
Classic.
And I also do find
hope she's not listening.
So in Mass Effect 1 mm-hmm. you have an option to save one team, like human teammate mm-hmm. of I think it's Ashley or Caden, I think his name is mm-hmm. from memory. Let me just quickly look that up. Yes, Caden. Mm-hmm. So Ashley or Caden, and you can only save one. One of them has to die.
Yeah.
In the first playthrough, I wasn't paying that much attention, so I was like,
"The Jackson Bailey route."
Yeah. So I was like, I'll save Ashley." And then playing this through, Ashley is very racist towards non-humans.
Oh.
So you're like, "Wow, this was not a hard decision," and I'm off that. So she died in this playthrough. Caden, his biggest problem is he's just a bit dull. He's a bit boring. But I still banged him. So,
all right.
Pretty happy about that.
Classic. Yeah.
That's
a lot of people like Garrus. I don't. In my very first playthrough, I really wasn't paying that much attention to all my decision making, and I ended up making sweet love to this alien man. Mm. Biggest regret of my life.
Mm. Yeah, that's.
I hated it. But I dumped him in Mass Effect 2. It was great. It was a great moment. And then before I could hook up with Thane, he died. So,
rest in peace.
Rest in peace. So hopefully this playthrough, I'm hoping to rectify that because I'm not even talking to Garrus.
Yeah, good.
I don't know, he's bullshit. And hopefully I'm going to finally romance my true bae, Thane.
That's perfect. I think
that is exactly
Jacob's
what they were looking
former
for,
roommate Woody will be happy. Email comes from Pietro. Dear Thumb Crampers, you slimy dogs. And the subject is reparations for Jacob's former roommate Woody. Given your cowardly ploy to avoid having Joel Zammit ramble on about his Mass Effect team comp and favorite mate by having Ethan answer Jacob's email, I'm here to seek reparations. Not only should Zammit answer the above upon his return to Thumb Cramps, it says upon his return to the Thumb Tower, but he should also tell me, the listener, how he feels about the following.
Okay.
One, his favorite color of the Crucible in Mass Effect 3.
What?
What's your favorite color of the Crucible, dude?
I'm guessing that is...
could be a spaceship. God,
mate, I haven't gotten to three yet.
Okay, we'll come back. Blue.
No.
I'm shrugging. I don't know. I also don't care.
Because again, when it came out, you were given three different options. It was like synergy... which was kind of like you work out with like your
synergy's
your
not a color, dude.
Synergy is represented by green. Then you had the aggression one, which is to wipe out all the AI, which is red. And then you had something else, which was green. But I always chose synergy.
Synergy was green, and then there was another one that was green.
One, then. I shouldn't have said anything. But he picked green. Quick, next question.
How many different aliens has he smooched?
I've only smooched Garrus.
Oh,
I played a very much a celibate run the first time I played this. It was like, no one shall, no lips of theirs shall touch lips of mine.
Hell yeah.
So I was a goody boy and a very, very big, like, big virgin energy.
Yeah.
But the only smooched Garrus. Because there's a thing where it's like Liara might be into you in the first game, but you're like, she's not into me for like who I am. She's more interested in like kind of what I either represent or the idea of me. And it just seems like there's a weird power play there. So I didn't want to make out with Liara. But I did make out with Kaden.
Hell yeah.
He's human. So.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, fair, fair.
Which alien has he failed to smooch but wished he could have?
Thane, 100 times. Thane, oh my God, that beautiful, beautiful assassin. I love him so much.
Failure to comply with his reparations will trigger the operational mandate of the ICC, so be good, your dogs.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
we
yeah.
did.
You're
comply.
Welcome. There you go.
Thane is a beautiful boy. I'm looking forward to playing Mass Effect 3, the all the DLCs, because you get like Javik and stuff like that, who I have never encountered before, but apparently was very integral to the storyline, but it was like one of those like one-day DLC things that I just didn't even notice when I first played it. But apparently they are very integral to the plot.
You're talking, hey, that's exciting.
You're talking about playing a virgin. Mass Effect makes me want to play The Witcher again and pull a chaste Geralt like I did last time, where I upset a bunch of horny ladies.
Yeah.
What a way to play.
They don't.
They
some,
are
some
so
games
upset
do
when you
not
won't
like
make
it when you
them.
Are a virgin. You're like, no, I don't want to.
Geralt,
I don't want to
is not, he's got to fight monsters, baby. Yeah. He can't
this
be boning
like the
ladies.
Second time in 3 weeks you've mentioned that you're going to play The Witcher 3, and I just don't think you're going to.
I'll play The Witcher 3 when you play Deadly Premonition. And when Zammit does whatever he was going to do.
When I also play Death's Door with only an umbrella was the other one.
Yeah.
All right, this one. Yo, douchebag, this is for you. Whoa. And then Dave opens email. The subject was a lie. Don't believe everything you read. This email is actually for Jackson. Hey, Jackson. They've announced a free update for Pokemon Snap, including a level where you shrink down real tiny, and I figured you'd love that, Jazz.
No, I think it's silly.
Is it because you... No. I understand why he thinks it's silly, because he doesn't have free reign.
Okay.
It's on rails, so yeah.
Well, it's just we want to see a Wurmple, but big. That's not fun.
How is that any different to when you want to be tiny so, like, you can see...
A bread. Bread that's big.
I want to eat the bread that's big. If I get to run around, the fact that it's on rails is also not as appealing, but also I think it's
that last thing you said is throwing me.
I just think if they were like, here's three new levels for Pokemon Snap, instead of here's two new levels for Pokemon Snap and one the same level, but you're small, then I would be, you know, that would be better.
But you
Don't engage. I'm choosing not to engage.
Hey, Dusha, got you again. This bit is for you. Well, you and literally anyone else. When you're given a choice in a video game, do you play as a villain or a hero? Love ya. Bye, Dave.
Let me get... Okay, so me, hero. Jackson, always the villain option. Yeah. JD, I reckon...
Depends on the game and how I'm feeling. Because, like, stuff...
I reckon 80% hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the time. Because, to be honest, most of the time where I'm playing games where there's choices to be made... I just pick what I feel the game wants me to make.
Yeah. That's fair, because you don't do much like role playing when you're playing games. So I guess it's kind of like a moot point for you, sort of.
Yeah. And like, so stuff like Resident Evil, for instance, I picked the thing that I was like, oh, that makes sense. But then in hindsight, I was like, oh, actually, no, I should have thought about that more. I was tricked by Jackson. If Jackson hadn't said that and then said there was no differences, even though there is
so much
vast,
difference.
Like, there is only differences in very certain parts of the game, but the differences there are huge.
You know the trick? It's just differences in story. That's the trick.
Yeah. But no, I generally find it weirdly hard to go like the evil route. Mm. Like playing, say, KOTOR and those kind of things, going Sith, I'm like, I don't like this. It just it feels wrong to me.
Love playing the bad guy. Yeah. I love playing the bad guy for a couple of reasons. One, it's just fun to be villainous. But two, the game never wants you to play the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's always funny to see the... Like,
incorrect. Some games, that is the canon choice.
Which ones?
One of the KOTORs it is, I'm pretty sure.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's very ambiguous.
No, I feel like...
I just find most games, when they're like, oh, you have the freedom of choice. Like, the one I always think of is Red Dead Redemption, where they're like, you can be a bad guy, But the whole time you're being a bad guy, the game is like
fighting you
yeah. so hard. Where you're like, no, Arthur Morgan regrets it. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. Arthur Morgan loves cutting people's heads off and growing his beard out real long.
Well, in Skyrim, they don't really care. Yeah. It just gets harder with towns, I guess. But
Okay, there's a lot of, again, if first playthrough will always generally be a hero boy. But then the second playthrough, I'll be like, oh, yeah, let's try the evil route. But you're right, Jack. A lot of games do not like you going full villainous, or they'll kind of route it so it's you're not really a villain.
Yeah, or even like, if they're like, you can play it any way you want, you actually can't. Yeah. Like
Mass Effect, again, my very first playthrough of Mass Effect, I went like Renegade.
Yeah.
And which is kind of like, you know, the bad version. Mm. But ultimately, like, you're being shitty, but you're doing the good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you're
it's like, an anti-hero route rather than
and a villain. All you're really doing is adding maybe snide remarks.
Yeah, exactly.
And sort of some storyline differences. But at the end of the day, it's like you are still being that hero, and like it's almost like you're playing a reluctant hero. And even though you're like, oh yeah, but I'm being a bit of a villain, it's still that kind of thing with the game and the choices that happen. You're like, Not really. Storyline-wise, it kind of does fight you again. Because they really want you to be the hero.
A classic example is Fallout 4, where they're like, we've got this DLC where it's a theme park that has been taken over by raiders, and you can join the theme park and become king of the raiders. But it's never like, oh, great, I can like rain terror on the wasteland or whatever. It's like, I'm going to make the raiders good guys. And you're like, well,
no.
You know, that's not really what I wanted here. So,
yeah. Like, even games where, like, I'm trying to think, a Fable is a good one as well. And, like, that's again, it just.
Get horns.
Yeah.
Get
horns. Oh, no.
And that game is bafflingly bad with choices.
Yeah, yeah. So,
again, it's kind of those weird games where I really wish there was games that. They're wanting you more to be like, no, go the villain.
No, I like being a bad guy. It's fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, Grand Theft Auto would be one.
Yeah, that's true.
They like you being a bad guy in that.
Yeah, but there's no real choice.
And also in the latest Grand Theft Auto, even though you're the bad guy, you're anti-heroes again.
Yeah.
You know?
Trevor's not an anti-hero.
Not Trevor, I guess, but the other two, you know.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 5 has the problem of like, yeah, because Franklin's like, oh, no, a gun. And then immediately you're shooting like 30 people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The dissonance between gameplay and story in Grand Theft Auto 5 is very funny.
Yeah.
Where you're like, back to my wife. Yeah, I blew up a helicopter today. Stop having sex with your masseuse. You know? You got bigger things to worry about, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really makes you think. Anyway, if you want to send us an email, you can find us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod. Today's episode has been 3 thumbs and a knock, 5 thumbs.
9 thumbs and a knock, I think.
There we go. He's done the maths.
He's done the maths for us.
So one pretty good review, one excellent review, and one truly dog shit game.
Yeah.
A game that makes you scared to think about.
Yeah, I don't like imagining it.
Yeah. It really kind of sums up the hosts of this show as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's wow.
You can make your own assumption of which one's which.
What's meant by that? Yeah, for sure.
Or it could just be a lie where they're all dog shit. Which is also viable.
Pretty good reflection, yeah.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've also been Joel.
This has been another episode of Thumb Cramps, and you better keep your thumbs where I can see them, bub.
Partner.
Yeehaw. Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspans Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.